here we are. Welcome to the Stronger Stride podcast. Thank you so much for being here once again. It is a very warm, very sunny day in Sydney. We are going through a little bit of a heat wave at the moment, so the podcast sweats are real today. But that's okay because I'm topping up my electrolytes, as you should be as well. Now, today is a fun little episode for you. We are talking about race day preparation. So we're going to be talking about what to do when you get to the event, what you should do the morning of, the night before, and the week prior to the event. We're going to talk all about the nitty-gritty with carb loading, sleep, taper, logistics, nutrition, all of the things you need to know. Shout out to Simon for suggesting this episode topic. I hope it lives up to your expectations. Before we get into the details of the episode, just a little bit of a refresher and a recap of where I am currently at with my training. On the day of recording this, it is just over 3 weeks out from Tararua 50K. I am 2 days away from a flight to Japan. So basically, this is my final proper week of training. Then I've got a 2 week holiday in Japan as a bit of a fun taper, bit of snowboarding, bit of casual tourist jogging, and then a week in New Zealand leading up to the event itself. So basically, tomorrow is my final long run. Tomorrow being Friday, I've got 4 hours on the schedule, although my coach Tim has also said 3 to 3.5 would be okay. But if you're like me and you have the option of doing 4 or 3 or 3.5, I would feel a bit guilty if I didn't do the 4. So 4 is the aim, unless something dramatic happens. I'm planning on running from where I live near North Sydney over the bridge and along the Bondi to Manly, or in this case, Manly to Bondi track, all the way out to Watson's Bay and then back along through kind of Bondi back to the city. It's close to 40Ks, so I'd love to get, yeah, anywhere from 36 to 38Ks would be really cool. I mean, 40 would be pretty nice, but I'm not going to destroy myself just to get 40Ks. I don't think that is very wise at all. Everything's going really well. I had a bit of a funny, I think I talked about this in the last episode, but a bit of heat stroke on a Friday run a couple of weeks ago, which meant that I missed my Saturday and Sunday training, which is a bit of a shame. So I felt like I had a couple of little dips in the road with the ankle and then the heat stroke, but I think I've kind of managed to keep everything afloat somewhat. I did 35Ks last Sunday and felt so good. Like, fitness wise, body felt good, nutrition went down really well, everything was really good. The only thing was I was a little bit niggly in my right foot afterwards, and to be honest, still, it's not quite right. I haven't really spoken to anyone about it because I'm kind of just choosing to ignore it. I have had a similar thing. It's basically just on the ball of my foot. I've had a similar thing a while ago, and I went and saw Tom DeCanto, and he gave me a metdome thing, which is basically a thing to put under your foot to basically take some of the load off this particular joint. So I've been doing that and, yeah, trying to wear my stiff shoes so that my toes aren't flexing excessively as well. And just, yeah, being mindful of that. But I'm, to be honest, again, do as I say, not what I do. I am going to do the long run tomorrow as usual, as normal. And I've done this week as normal because I know that I'm going to have a very, very, very conservative taper. And I'm going to be strapped into some snowboard boots for 5 or 6 days. So my toes won't be flexing. So I'm feeling good. I feel like I'm going to get tomorrow's run done and then it's pretty much just deload from there. So I think my foot will be totally fine. Not too worried about that at all. But just want to be super transparent and open with you all. That is where I'm at. And yeah, I think that's it. The next time that I speak to you will be post-Tararua. We've got an episode coming out this weekend with Bo, but when I say this week, oh yeah, of course. Okay, I'm getting my dates confused. There'll be an episode before this that would have come out with Bo, and then this one, and then one with Nick Youngquest, and then a solo episode after that, which might be a bit of a race recap. So stay tuned for that. We'd love to know what you're training for. Please leave us a comment in the Spotify comment box or send us a DM on Instagram. Let us know what you're training for. Okay, on to today's episode. So we are talking about basically the week, the 5 days, 3 days leading up to the race, what you should and shouldn't be doing. If you want any information on training, There's plenty of episodes to go through in the catalogue about actually how to train for an event. We recently did one about doing our first ultra marathon. There's other episodes on 5Ks and 10Ks and all sorts of things throughout there. So this isn't actually talking about training. This isn't talking about sessions you should be doing, long runs you should be doing, any of that kind of jazz. We are beyond that point now. So we're assuming by this point, you either know what you're doing for your training and you're getting organized, or you are literally in the week before a race, maybe panicking or cramming or trying to figure out what you should be doing. We also won't be going into too much detail about tapering, because I did a solo episode on tapering a couple of weeks ago. So you can check that out if you want to know more specifics around the 4, 3, 2, 1 week leading up to the race itself. We are going to touch on a few other topics, and if I don't go into too much detail, it's probably because we have another episode on it, so they will all be linked below. Enough caveats, enough disclaimers, let's get into it. So, let's talk 3 to 4 days out from the event. What should we be thinking about? What should we be doing? Probably the first thing that comes to your mind is carbo loading, carbohydrate loading, carb loading, eating a lot of pasta, eating a lot of pizza. That's probably what you're imagining when you're thinking about this time frame. You might also be thinking, I need to scull a lot of water in this time. I need to get a lot of sleep during this time, and I'm probably reducing my running. So we're going to cover these topics now. So first up, carbohydrate loading. What is it? Why do we need to do it? Does it actually matter? So when we're exercising, our primary fuel source, unless we are fat adapted, which I'm just not even going to go into today, we're just talking about carbohydrates. Basically, for majority of us, majority of the time, carbohydrates is our fuel source. It is our most easily accessible, easily broken down fuel source that we access straight away. Okay, first point of call is carbohydrates. When we exercise, we use these carbohydrates to do what we need to do to produce the energy we need. We burn through the carbohydrates, and if we run out of carbohydrates, then we might move into our fat stores. If we run out of them, eventually we might go into our protein stores, which is disastrous. But basically, we really want to keep our carbohydrate stores topped up, full, ready to go, not depleted as much as possible, so that we can maintain or sustain our effort for longer, and we can have a nice continued source of energy throughout that. So, in order to do this, we can load our body with carbohydrates prior to an event to ensure that our glycogen stores are nice and full. Glycogen just being carbohydrates, or the glucose in this case, that is stored in the muscle cells. So we want to top these up, have these full. It's like if you're going on a road trip, you fill up your car with petrol so that you don't have to stop when you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no petrol. You know what I'm saying? If you're in the middle of the race, there's no aid station, you're out of fuel, what are you going to do? Also, if you run out of petrol completely, or if you run out of carbohydrates completely, it's really difficult to top them up from there. Okay, if you've got a little bit of store, or you've got half a tank, that should get you going for a little while. But having them topped up, having the tank full, is the best way to go. Okay? So what does this actually look like? How much should we be having? How much pasta, how much pizza, how much bread? What does it look like? So the research says, and something that we discussed with Aiden the dietitian, which I'll have that episode linked below, is a number that he throws around, which is 10 to 12 grams of carbohydrates per kilogram of body weight per day during the carb load. So that could be 3 days on average. Now, 10 to 12 grams of carbohydrates is quite a lot per kilogram if you're anyone. But if we just think about it for ease sake, if you're 100 kilos, that's quite a lot of carbohydrates to eat. So is this practical? Is this realistic? Or is this just a number that maybe the elites are trying to hit, and maybe us amateur everyday runners are probably just not going to be able to achieve realistically? Potentially. So 5 to 6 grams of carbohydrates per kilogram per day is probably more realistic for most of us. Now, there are a couple of strategies that Aiden talked about in the episode that can help this process. So because we are needing to increase our carbohydrates by such an extortionate amount, reducing our protein and fat sources is going to help with this. Simply because if we have fat and protein making up a large majority or even a small portion of our meals, we're going to get fuller more quickly. We're going to be increasing our calorie intake, meaning that we're going to reach satiety. We're going to be full quicker. If we just have carbohydrates or carbs with a little bit of fats and a little bit of protein, then that's probably going to mean that we're able to eat more volume, we're able to get more carbohydrates in, and therefore we can more likely reach those targets. So, what should we be eating? If you go and get a Domino's pizza, the fat content on that is probably quite high. You're probably not going to be able to get as many carbohydrates in as you would going for something like a rice-based meal or a pasta meal with a low-fat sauce, like a tomato sauce or something like that. I'm not saying that fat is bad. I'm not saying protein is bad. But in this very specific context, in this very short window, this very short time frame, it's just less optimal than carbohydrates for a majority of us. Obviously, there are outliers with everything. But just starting to think about, can you get some more carbohydrates in? Could you have another piece of toast for breakfast a couple of days before? Could you have a little bit more pasta with your dinner a couple of nights before? Those kind of things are going to be really important. Don't just get to the day before and just absolutely stuff your face until you feel sick. Okay, it's something that you can start to progress over the 3 to 4 days prior to the race and start really trying to top those up regularly over that time frame. So carbohydrate loading is something you should think about. If you want specifics for yourself, if you want any more information, reach out to Aiden or a sports dietitian that you know of that specializes in endurance runners, and they will give you some more specifics around exact kind of meals and timings and metrics and numbers that are going to work for you specifically. The second thing you're probably going to start thinking about is your water or hydration or fluid needs leading up to the race. I think when I was little, when I was in primary school, the night before cross country, I would like scull all this water thinking like that was going to be helpful and that's what I need to do. Let's try not to overdo it with the water. I think for majority of us, we're probably underdoing our water anyway. We're probably sitting at a relatively dehydrated state for a lot of the time. So it's probably not super common for us to overdrink, but if you get into that frame of mind of like, oh no, I haven't had enough, I'm just going to down a few liters before bed, it's probably not the best way to go about it. When you're thinking about hydration, you need to also be thinking about electrolytes. If we just flush our body with all of this extra water that we're not used to, we're going to really dilute our electrolyte balance, which isn't beneficial. It can be quite dangerous. It's just not optimal. Okay, so if you are going to increase your water intake, also think about increasing your electrolyte intake along that. We need to kind of have those two things matched up. I wouldn't go excessive with the water though. Whatever amount is suitable for your body weight and size and activity levels. You know, if you're someone who a few days before the marathon or whatever race it is, if you're working outdoors, gardening, landscaping, building, laboring, whatever, and you're sweating quite a lot if it's in summer, then your requirements are going to be so different to someone who's working in an office job. It's just going to be totally different. So I'm not going to throw a number at you, but you know, in general, that 2 to 3 liters of water based on your needs and your size, that should be enough. It doesn't need to be too excessive beyond those limits. But it is something to consider. You don't want to be turning up to race day dehydrated. You really want to make sure that those stores are topped up so that you are in the best position you can be starting the race. So we've got carbs, we've got hydration. Sleep is probably another thing you're going to be thinking about. Now, the night before a race, it is super common to not sleep very well. I've heard quite a number of elite athletes say that this happens to them. And it's okay. It's more important about what sleep you're getting, how much, and the quality of sleep you're getting throughout the week leading up to the race, rather than just simply the night before. The night before isn't going to make or break the day. Of course, you'll probably wake up feeling a bit more confident if you know that you've slept well, but I just think that is so rare. I think for most people, if it's an event that you care about, if it's something you've been training towards, if you've got a goal, you're probably going to be a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous. You might wake up a few times throughout the night because you're anticipating when your alarm's going to go off, or you're panicking thinking you didn't even set the alarm and you're going to be late and all those thoughts. So if you don't sleep well the night before, that's okay. But just try and get into a really nice routine the week leading up to the event. You don't have to drastically change your routine. You may potentially want to look at aligning your routine with race day potentially. You know, if the race is at 6 a.m., and you're normally someone who sleeps in, then it might be helpful to try and adjust that routine a little bit potentially. But of course, you've still got to fit in with your normal life and normal schedule. So I wouldn't worry too much, but just really trying to get that 7 to 9 hours of good quality sleep making sure that before bed, you're not on your phone, not looking at a screen. You're eating with enough time before you go to bed, you know, 1 to 2 hours at least before you're going to bed so you can digest properly before sleep. All those normal good habits that we should always be having throughout our general life. Let's really try and emphasize those during race week so that we can recover, we can absorb all of the training that we've just put our body through for the last 3 or 4 months, and we can feel as rested, refreshed, and recovered as possible. Okay, the other thing to mention here is, what does our training look like in this week? And I've spoken about the taper in a previous episode, which will be linked below. But in general, we want a reduction in volume and we want a maintenance of intensity. So 3 days prior to the event, or 2 days prior, or for some people the day before, they might do some sort of shakeout run. Okay, so that could be just a short 10, 20, 30 minute jog with a couple of strides. Okay, so strides are simply just short bursts of faster running. So it might be 50, 80, 100 meter bursts, just turning the legs over, getting the body used to race pace, while still making sure that you turn up to race day feeling fresh and rejuvenated and recovered and not like you're overcooked. Okay, so in those last few days leading up to the taper, keep it easy, keep it relaxed, reduce your volume, don't try anything new, but keep in a couple of shorter, fast runs or moderate runs so that you're feeling good to go on race day. If you want more info, link is below. All right, what is next? Some more practical and logistic elements to start thinking about with that week, within the week before. Now, hopefully you would have checked some of these before, but if you are not very organized or you've had other things going on, you may not have got around to it. So things that you really want to be checking logistically are, what do you do about your bib pickup? Has it already been delivered to you in the post? And have you just realized that you thought it was going to be delivered, but it hasn't arrived yet? Check that. Check your mailbox. If it hasn't arrived and it was meant to, call the race organizers ASAP and see whether you'll be able to pick it up on the race day or the day before, that kind of stuff. Make sure you get the bib sorted. You don't want to turn up to the race expecting to pick it up and it's not there, or you're not able to pick it up, or they don't have it for you, and then all of a sudden you're stressing, okay? So figure out, firstly, do you have your bib yet? Are you picking it up on race day or the day before or at the race expo? Was it mailed to you, or was it meant to be mailed to you and you haven't received it yet? Check all of those things. Make sure you have your race bib. You also want to make sure that you've got some pins to put your race bib onto your shirt. Just simple safety pins work really well. Most events have safety pins with the bib when they send it to you or when you pick it up. And they should have some at the event start if you need it, but good to have them ready to go and good to just have it on your shirt so that you can just put the shirt straight on in the morning and you don't have to fiddle around with safety pins and try and line up your bib so it's nice and straight. Cool. All right. Another thing to think about is there a bag drop option? Have I got family or friends coming with me who can look after my stuff, or do I have to use the bag drop option? Where is that? How do I get to it from the start line? Where will it be dropped off? How can I access it? Do I need to put it in my own bag, or will they be providing the bag? All those kind of things are really important to think about a few days before the race. Also, while you're here, figuring out how the marshalling, waiting areas, starting areas are all laid out. Where do you need to be? Because often you'll look at the race map and go, oh, I'm in B group, and that's where B group starts, so that's where I'm going to go. But potentially there's a marshalling area a little bit further down or on the side or whatever it is that isn't exactly where you think your race is starting, that you have to marshal at before. And if you don't know that, you might either miss the start or you might end up way at the back of the group, which you might not want to be in depending on your goals. So figuring out where you need to be marshalling, where you need to wait, and working out how long you need to get there. I am definitely more casual when it comes to this compared to Lydia. She likes to be there 2 hours in advance, I believe. I'm more of a 1 hour person, but I think it would depend on the event itself, how well I knew the area, had I done the event before, did I need to pick anything up or drop anything off, and if I knew about the parking situation and also the toilet situation. If you were at Sydney Marathon last year, you would know the disasters of the toilet situation. The lines were like nothing I've ever seen before. So make sure you go to the toilet before you leave. We'll come back to this soon because we're going to talk about the morning off. But in general, check out the layout of the course. Check out the layout of the expo area, the starting area. Figure all of those out. And triple check what time your event starts and or what time your briefing or marshalling is. You would have all heard the story about me at Melbourne Marathon, completely missed the start, thinking it was an hour later, had to sprint to the start, started at the back, ended up having a great time, but it was very stressful for the few minutes while I was running to the start line. So triple check what time your specific event is. You might be doing a marathon and maybe the half marathon's at a different time, so don't get them mixed up. Check the logistics, check the race guide, be on top of all those details. Okay, so that is our 3 to 4 days out. We're carb loading, we're hydrating, we're sleeping well, we're tapering, we've checked all the logistics. The other thing that you want to check as well is your gear. Have you washed and is your stuff washed, clean, dry that you want to wear? Have you got the right sports bra, shorts, shirt, undies, socks, shoes? Are they all ready to go or are they sitting at the bottom of the washing basket? Because you don't want to get to the morning of the race and realize your shirt stinks and you can't wear it, or you can't find your shoes, or you can't find your socks. So 3 days before, find all of the items that you need, your spy belt or your flip belt, your headphones, make sure they're charged, your watch, make sure that's charged. Do all these things at least a couple of days before so that if you realize, oh, I need to wash that, or I need to find it, oh, I left it at a friend's house, blah, 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 you've got time to sort that out and you're not panicking the night before. So also during this time, do a gear check, get all of that sorted, your hat, anything else you might need. Also during this time, think about your nutrition. Are you taking stuff with you? Are you relying on the aid stations? I was trying to think of another option, but I don't really know what other option you would have. But figure out your nutrition strategy and, well, you should know it by now. If you haven't figured out your nutrition strategy, then just go off what you've been doing in training, what you can handle and tolerate. It's not really time to change anything right now, but figure out how you're going to carry that. Have you got it all? Do you need to go to the shop to get some? That kind of thing. Okay, we are officially one night before the event. Race day is tomorrow. What are we doing? What do we need to think about? So, number one, double check everything I just said. So all of those things logistically that we just spoke about, check them again. Make sure you've got your gear. Make sure you know where you're going. This is a really good time to double check the transport and the parking. So you might have checked it last week or a few days ago, or a few weeks ago, and you've gone, yep, I'm going to get this train. Oh, sorry, I'm going to drive to the station, and then I'll get this train, then I'll get this boat, and then I'll get an Uber, or whatever the plan was. Those things can change. Trains can get cancelled, buses can be delayed, there can be road closures, all sorts of things that you might not have thought about. If you're doing Sydney Marathon and you're planning to drive over the bridge to get to the start line, but you've forgotten that the bridge is closed, it's going to be a little bit stressful. So making sure that you double check the night before how you're going to get there. Make sure that all those things are working. Make sure to book your Uber or check the train times. Make sure you check that your car turns on. Make sure you've got petrol. All those things, because you really don't want to be figuring that out on the morning of the event. So check those things. Check transport. The other thing I do the night before is just do a nice little flat lay of your clothes. Lay out your gear. I always untie my shoelaces if they're not already. I always turn my socks the right way out. Get your Body Glide or your Vaseline or whatever anti-chafe solution you use and put that with your clothes so that you don't forget to put it on. Get your sunscreen out. Get your headphones ready. What else would you need? Make sure your bib is attached to your shirt if you've got it. Get those things ready to go. The other thing to think about with your clothing as well is if it's a winter event or it's an early start and it's going to be a little bit cooler, what are you bringing to keep yourself warm? If you've got someone coming with you that's able to hold your stuff that isn't running, then that's okay. Just take whatever you would take and whatever they can carry for you. But if you don't have that option, then go to Vinny's. This should have been a few days before, sorry. But we're backtracking now. A few days before, go to Vinny's, go to Salvo's, find an old long sleeve shirt or a hoodie or just a big shirt or anything like that that you can donate and you're happy to give away. You might even just go through your wardrobe and find something that you no longer wear, it's got holes in, whatever. Bring that with you to race day. If you haven't done a race before, you might not know that they do a collection of these clothes at the once the start has gone. Sorry, that didn't make so much sense. Once the runners have gone, people collect all the clothing and donate it to charity. So when you're standing around waiting for the race, when you're in the start line, waiting to cross the start line, Wearing a layer that you can throw away is a great way to keep warm, and then you just throw it onto the barrier and it gets collected and donated to charity. So you can feel good about it as well. Maybe don't take something that's too ratty that no one's going to wear, but something that someone would wear would be quite well appreciated. So do that to keep yourself warm. You don't want to be shivering, freezing cold. I know it's hard to imagine right now if you're in Australia. I can't even imagine what being cold feels like right now. But if it's a winter race, if it's Sydney Harbour 10K in July, that is freezing cold. So take a layer. You might even, you know, take some loose tracky pants that you can throw off as well. Some people put garbage bags around them. There's lots of different strategies, but try and think of a way that you're going to keep warm. And don't take your favorite Patagonia puffer vest, puffer jacket that you're not going to want to depart with unless you want to tie it around your waist and run with it. Okay, so really thinking about that is going to be super important. Now, if you're doing a trail run, an ultra, a marathon, a half marathon, anything that requires you to carry your own hydration, get this ready the night before. If you're using Tailwind in your bladders or your soft flasks as your hydration source, put the Tailwind in the soft flask, fill it with water, get it in the fridge, get it ready. Now, there's a few little caveats to this. If it's a summer race, I would always half fill my bladder and half fill my soft flasks with my Tailwind, and then I'd put it in the freezer the night before. That way, the next morning when I get up, it's half frozen. I can top the rest up with just cold Tailwind that's been in the fridge, and then my water stays cold for at least the first hour, maybe 2 hours sometimes if I'm lucky. And it's just the best feeling. If you can drink icy cold Tailwind on a run and you can feel the frozen solid Tailwind on your back during a run, it is delightful. When it's hot, that is just the absolute dream. So just be mindful not to overfill them. If you fill it all the way to the top and screw it shut, ice does expand. I don't know the physics behind it, but ice grows and expands, and you might burst your bottle, or you might get a hole in it, or it might rip. So I always only go to halfway, and I just make sure to stand it up vertically so that the top half where I'm going to be drinking from is empty, and I can then top that up with water. You may have to rinse the lid under some water before you are able to screw it off because it might freeze on. So you can just get some warm water, rinse the lid off. Same with the bladder. You might have trouble opening it, so just rinse it under warm water. That's not a problem at all. Top the rest up, and then you've got icy cold Tailwind ready to go, or whatever hydration strategy you use, but of course Tailwind is the best. So you're either putting your stuff in the freezer, maybe you're putting it in the fridge. If it's a winter race, you can put it in the fridge. If it's freezing cold and you're in the snow, then just leave it on the counter, on the bench, whatever. But make sure you fill your bottles up. You don't want to be fumbling around in the morning, 4:30 a.m. in the dark, trying to figure out where your Tailwind is and how much to put in and measuring the scoops and spilling water everywhere and trying to shut your bladder and get it in the pack and all that stuff. So have it all ready to go, and then you won't be panicking in the morning. What's next? Night before. Oh, continuing on from the carb load, we're thinking about what are we having the night before for our meal. We want some easy to digest, carbohydrate rich foods, something like a bowl of pasta. Again, maybe not the pizza because it might have too high a fat content, meaning we're not able to eat quite as much as we maybe should. So maybe we're having some rice or some bread or any other carbohydrate source, maybe some potatoes, anything else that you like, anything else that you know that you tolerate. Don't try anything new the night before. It's too late now. You're going to wake up tomorrow with regret. So try something that is tried and tested. You've had it before. You know that it works for you. Sipping on water throughout the night before as well, maybe having a little bit of electrolytes as well the night before, getting to bed early, getting into that nice routine, and you'll sleep easy knowing that you're so well prepared. You've done the training, you've tapered perfectly, you've done all these logistical checks, and you're ready to go. So you can just have a beautiful night's sleep. Then we wake up and it is the morning of the event. So what do we do on the day of the race? Now, this is going to greatly depend on what time your event starts. If it's a 5 a.m. race start and you live 2 hours from the race start, it's going to be totally different to if it was a 10 p.m. start or even a 9 a.m. or an 8 a.m. start. So it totally depends on when it starts and also how long it's going to take you to get there. In general, in an ideal world, we want to try and eat a meal on the morning of the race 2 to 3 hours before we start running. Now, sometimes this isn't super practical. Again, if you've got an early race start, you live far away from the event and you're already getting up at 2 or 3 in the morning, then it's going to be quite challenging to eat at that time if you're not used to it. So you might not be able to get much down. So during your longer training runs, hopefully you have practiced eating your race day meal, you've practiced the timing of it, you know how long it takes you to digest things and feel comfortable, you know which foods work for you and which don't. So again, the same with last night, don't try anything new the morning of the race. Keep it simple, keep it easy to digest, keep it carbohydrate focused. Something like 2 pieces of toast with honey, or some people really like oats and that works for them. You could even have your rice or pasta, like doesn't have to be a traditional breakfast food. Whatever you know is going to sit well in your stomach and you're going to feel comfortable with. Allowing yourself enough time to get it. If it's a really super early start and you physically cannot eat a meal at the right time, then don't worry. About 90 minutes, an hour before the race, you could have something like a banana or an LCM bar or something that is a light snack. You could have that, maybe a gel or two, half an hour to 15 minutes before the race. So if you really logistically, physically cannot get that meal in, it's not the end of the world. Just make sure you've done your carb loading, make sure you've eaten enough the day before, and have some smaller, lighter snacks throughout the morning of if you can. Okay, I think that's all I need to say about the meal. Now, the thing that comes alongside that is the digestion process and the toileting necessity. If you can, try and go to the toilet maybe a couple times before you even get to the start line. Often when you get to start lines, their lines for the toilets are far too long. You're going to spend so much time lining up, which is okay if you're early and if you've allowed for that. You're going to be standing around waiting anyway, so sometimes you may as well just stand around in the toilet line because, you know, what else would you be doing? If you're a little bit late or a bit rushed or a bit stressed and frantic, then waiting in a long toilet line is not the best option. My hack would be, if you're doing a race in Sydney City or any major city, find a public toilet that's not part of the race. Find one at a train station or in a different park or at a coffee shop or, you know, anywhere else, because they're bound to be much quieter. So go there. Even if you don't feel like you need to, you may as well. If you've had your meal early enough, you've had some time to digest, maybe you've done a little bit of movement, maybe you've had a coffee, you'll probably be right to have a couple of toilet breaks before you start and you should be good to go. Now, if you have turned up to the race and you're running late and the toilet line is too long and you don't have time to wait for it and you just have to start the race without going to the bathroom, don't panic. Take some deep breaths. Sometimes your body just goes into fight or flight mode and it just kind of forgets that it ever had to go. So don't let that be the thing that's all you think about. Just take some deep breaths, relax. There will be toilets on course. If you need to stop, you can stop. Okay, next on the list. Arrive earlier than you think you should. Most races will give you a guide. Some of them will say 45 minutes to an hour. Some will say 2 hours. Depends on what you need to do on that morning, if you need to pick things up or if you literally can just walk straight onto the start line with no extra duties to do, then that's totally different. It also depends on how you're getting there. Do you need to think about parking time? Is it somewhere really remote with not much parking and you might have to walk quite a way from your car to the start? Or are you simply jumping off the train station and the event is right there, like with the Sydney Marathon? So once you've figured all that out a few days before, then you can work out how much time you need. Then you can work back from there and work out what time you need to leave. And then always allow for traffic, allow for potential stops or petrol or anything else that might happen along the way. Give yourself more time than you think, because you really don't want to be rushing and stressing about missing the start. The good thing is, though, if you do happen to miss the start, they usually keep the start open for another 30 minutes after the gun's gone off. So even if you're late, worst case scenario, you still can run. The only annoying thing is you're so far behind everyone. But the positive to that, which I learned at Melbourne, is that you then feel quite satisfied because you're the last person, which means as long as you're not the slowest person, you'll start taking over from other people. You'll start passing people. And from an ego point of view, that's quite fun. Feels quite satisfying and you feel like you're really achieving something. So sometimes being late isn't as bad as you think it's going to be. In saying that, just try and be early anyway. Next on the list is a warm-up. Have you thought about doing a warm-up? Are you going to do a jog before? Are you going to do some stretches, some strides? Are you going to have a pump-up playlist blasting in your earphones, some Eminem getting you psyched up? What is your little pre-run routine looking like? You've been to the bathroom, you've had your food, you've dropped your gear off, you're ready to go. What are you doing? From a physiological, scientific point of view, I would always suggest doing a warm-up regardless of the distance or the event. The shorter the distance, I think the longer the warm-up needs to be, the more intensive the warm-up should be. If you're doing an ultra marathon, I personally probably wouldn't, actually no, I definitely wouldn't go for a jog before that, because I'm thinking I'm probably running the furthest I've ever run today, so I don't want to do any extra because I probably won't be able to make it. But I would do maybe some bodyweight squats, maybe a couple of lunges with a bit of rotation, maybe some like hamstring bridges, some calf raises, maybe a couple of hops, little things like that, maybe some crab walks and activation type stuff, just to get things warm, get a little bit of blood flow to the area and get things feeling good. So figuring out what your pre-race routine looks like. If it was a 10K, a half marathon, even a marathon, I would definitely do a warm-up jog. I always would aim to get at least 2 kilometers done or at least 10 minutes done, aiming maybe towards the 15-minute mark, depending on, again, where you're at and what distance you're doing. But trying to ramp, elevate that heart rate, increase some blood flow, increase core temperature, get yourself in the zone to go. Because if you're just going, especially for 90% of us who do events, we start out way too fast. If you're going from 0 to 100, it's not going to be great on the body. So try and warm up so that you're at least half the way there before you start sprinting on the start line. Now, once you're warm, you need to start figuring out where you're going to line up. And it might already be too late by now, because people are keen for the start. People love to be the first one on the line. So figure out where you want to seed yourself. Are you in the A group and you're feeling a bit nervous about being in the A group? Maybe you only just made the cut, so maybe you should hang a little bit further back so that you don't feel like you're in the way and you're not getting run over and elbowed by everyone coming past you. Or are you in the C group but you're feeling quite confident, you're feeling like you're probably at the top end of the C group? Maybe line yourself up towards the front so that you're not stuck behind people and you don't feel like you're constantly weaving through. If there are no start groups, which is pretty common for some of the smaller trail runs, then you just need to self-seed, which basically just means figuring out where you want to go based on your predicted finish time and everyone else's predicted finish time. So if you know you're an elite runner, get yourself to the start. If this is the longest you've ever run, if you feel like you're more of a back of the pack type person, then start at the back. And if you're somewhere in between, go somewhere in between. Something to be really mindful of is if you are a little bit more competitive or you're wanting to push the pace, having a good understanding of the start of the course and where you're going to self-seed yourself is really important. I did Jabalani once and didn't really realize that within sort of 500 meters, we're in a very fine, very small, narrow single track. And I placed myself a little bit too far back within the pack. And within 500 meters, I was walking because the people in front of me were walking. So just being really aware of the course, being aware of kind of average finish times, maybe have a look at the results a week before and just figure out, okay, like the winners did this time, the slower people did this time, the medium people did this time, whatever it was. You can kind of get a bit of a gist of where you should be standing in the start. So that is that. I've got here as well, wear your extra layer so you can throw it away for charity, which we mentioned before. Check your shoelaces. Are they actually tied up? Have you got the double knot going on? Do you need to tuck them in anywhere? Are they too long and they're going to trip you up? Just making sure that's sorted, because I don't know if it's ever actually happened to me, but you just would hate to get halfway through a race and have your shoelaces flapping around everywhere and feeling like you're going to trip over. So check that. Have your playlist going. This is something that I should have mentioned 3 days before, but have you got a playlist? Are you taking earphones? Are you not? I know it's a little bit controversial. I know some people are very anti-headphones for races, but sometimes it's the boost that you need. So I'm all for it if it's something that's going to help you, as long as it's safe, as long as you don't have noise cancelling settings turned on, as long as you can hear people around you so that marshals and volunteers and other runners can communicate with you, then go for it. As long as it's not against the rules of the race, which some of them are banned. So if you're allowed to and you'd like to, make sure you've got a good playlist going on so that you don't get halfway through the run and have all these terrible songs and then it just puts you in a bad mood. Next one I've got here is sunscreen. So making sure you've got a hat, maybe some sunnies, some scorcher sunscreen on so that you don't get burnt because you might be out there for quite a while. Cool. I think that's the morning of sorted. So you've got yourself ready, you're warmed up, you've been to the bathroom, you've got the right layers on or off, you're in the right position, the gun goes off and you do it. You just smash it. You get a PB, you absolutely blitz it. Best day ever. Cool. All right. So I think that is where we're going to leave it. We've had a brief overview of some things to think about for the 3 to 4 days prior to the race, what to think about the night before, and what to do on the morning of the event. Now, I'm sure I've missed something. If I have, please send it through. Let me know what I've totally forgotten about, or maybe something that I just have never even thought of myself. I would also love to know if you do things differently. Do you do a carb load? Do you not? How do you do your taper? What do you have for your morning breakfast before a run? I would love to know all of those details if you're willing to share them. And yeah, I think that's all for me. Have a great race. If you're about to do your race, good luck. Take a deep breath, relax. Remember that this is for fun. Unless we are going for the World Championships or the Olympics, what really is the point if it's not for fun? And that's it. Have a great time. Listen to another episode. That'll keep you going. That'll pump you up. And I will speak to you in the next one. Thanks, guys.